this is kind of a precursor to the video you're about to watch on the life of Chick Corea. We recorded that video a couple weeks ago, and then just yesterday we learned of his passing. A very big shock to all of us, and a tremendous loss to this planet, not just in his music. He always talked about why to do music and the education of it and the beauty of it and all of the things that music is intrinsically. And he would always say, but it is also fun. And I think that was his spirit, you know? He was such a giving person. On many occasions, I've had the opportunity to meet him, and I have seen him take time to work with young students I have taught, to encourage them and to educate them, to guide them. Just one of those very generous people. His career, absolutely phenomenal. And we just want to take the time to say that we're going to miss you, Chick. We know that you are not going to rest in peace. You will be at peace, but you're not going to rest because you are a doer. So you're going to another plane of existence, but you're doing stuff, and you're doing stuff with sound. And I'm sure that you're making a joyful noise wherever you are. So to his family, his wife, and everybody, yes, a great loss to us, but trust me, he had gone to another plane of existence, and he's still doing what he loves to do, music and fun. Okay, and now on with the video on the life of Mr. Chick Corea. So, this next artist is quite a challenge. He's been around for a while, a long time, and he has such an illustrious career. So varied and so many things and so many great things that it's kind of hard to do it in one setting. So we're going to do this in two parts. One which I will do now that will start from the beginning to somewhere around 1980, and then there will be a subsequent part later on in this series. I'm talking about Armando Anthony Chick Corea. Armando Anthony Corea, better known as Chick. Born in Chelsea, Massachusetts, 1941. He grew up in a musical home. His father was a jazz trumpet player who played in many Dixieland bands, led Dixieland bands, traditional jazz bands, and that kind of thing, and let his son get involved in music, you know, at an early age, 6, 7, 8. And originally, young Armando was gonna be a drummer, and he was a drummer for quite a long time. He still plays drums, as a matter of fact, and is quite good at it. And then somewhere around 8 or 9, he started taking private lessons on piano after he had been experimenting on his own. And the father thought, okay, it's time to get him formal lessons with a classical teacher who would teach him great technique, great literature, inspire him to be a composer, and all of those things that come from a very solid formal music education. Believe it or not, he and I shared something, and that is drum and bugle corps. He played with the St. Rose Lancers from Chelsea, and he was a soloist and featured member. And I would imagine that would have been as a drummer, since joint bugle corps are exactly that. You got brass instruments and drums. So he did that in his formative years, I'd say through high school. Somewhere in high school, his father gave him the gift of a black tuxedo. Oh boy. That means now he can dress up, look older than what he is, and play some real gigs that pay real money with real professional musicians. And that is what he did with his little black tuxedo. Yes, he did. It's worked out really great for him around the Chelsea, Boston area. And then finally he decided it's time to go to school. And he actually went to school for music education. That means he probably thought he was going to be a teacher. I think he thought better about that after getting to New York and trying Columbia for a while. I think he lasted about a month there and said, boring. So he went over to Juilliard and lasted a few months there and said, boring. But like Miles Davis and so many others that started on that path, he did not leave New York. Oh no, too much music. And he wanted the music. And at first, music was just a thing to do, the excitement of it, you know, the technique, and the playing with guys, you know, the excitement of being on stage and all the stuff that comes with that. That's what he was into. Not yet into the communication that comes from the artist to the audience, and that very tender communication, not yet into that. It was all pretty much show and enjoyment. He's a young guy. Okay, give him a break. That's what he's into. In those days, he's playing with Willie Bobo and Mongo Santa Maria and, you know, Latin artists and straight jazz artists and whatnot. He always had a love for bebop and straight ahead jazz as well. We continued the classical piano work. Eventually, he ended up playing with Miles Davis on a couple of live albums. Black Beauty, I think that's done live at Fillmore West, the Fillmore West done in California. And then another live album with Miles at Fillmore East, which is in New York. Bill Graham ran both of those establishments. And then later he participated in, I think in a silent way, most certainly in Bitches Brew, Miles Davis's pivotal album that helped set the pace for what was yet to come in terms of electronic music and fusion and all that. And it's probably all happened because Chick had already started experimenting with electric piano and the use of the ring modulator, which was a very important device to alter sounds back in the late 60s and 70s, as he played with the various groups he was playing with that attracted Miles Davis, which set him on stage with Miles Davis, which put him in all those pivotal albums with Miles Davis, which also put him with some really, really fine musicians, Dave Holland, for instance, and so many others that I could name, Flor Purim and Yerto, and just so many great players that Miles had in and out of his bands at that time. Soon after the Bitches Brew was released and that whole thing started to blow up, he did leave and start a band with fellow bandmate at that time with Miles Davis, Dave Holland. They both left about the same time. And they started a group called Circle with Anthony Braxton out front on saxophone. I think he did two or three albums with that group, and then he and Dave parted ways. Chick was always a fantastic pianist, it still is to the very day, very serious about the classical piano, very serious about the acoustic piano, even though he continues to work with electronic keyboards. So it's around this time, this Circle years, this would probably be the early 70s, mid 70s there, that he also started doing solo piano recordings, Piano Improvisations 1 and Piano Improvisations 2 were solo albums that he did on the acoustic piano. So he has always been very, very varied. He likes a lot of influences. He likes Latin music, the Spanish music. He likes the rock and roll. He likes the funk. He likes it all. And this led to the beginning of another transformation in his life, the fusion era for real, with Return of Forever. And Return of Forever initially was fairly acoustic and electric. It wasn't full on electric. Led by a sax player, Stanley Clark is playing acoustic bass and electric bass, singers, whatever. It was kind of a different group, but not quite the electric group that we know a Return of Forever to be. That is because this was the first version of Return of Forever. The second one, sax player is replaced with a guitarist, so now we're getting a little bit more electric here, a little bit more electronic, a little bit more synthesized. I think Bill Connors was that particular guitarist, and he was soon replaced by Al DiMeola, and so now you've got the Return to Forever that most of us are familiar with Chick and Al DiMeola and Stanley Clark, and you know, just one of those great, great Lenny White on drums, just one of those great groups, and two or three really fine albums. One of my favorite would be Romantic Warrior. This is the hard electric period. They're very, very hard electric period. With the first and second versions of Return to Forever. In 1976, he did an album that was not Return Forever. It had electronics, even had a horn section. It did some Latin influenced music and whatnot. And it introduced us to a singer named Gail Moran, who was also, or is also, a percussionist, and soon, and very soon, became Chick's wife, Gail Moran. Fantastic singer, musician, percussionist in her own right, and that signaled another change in the direction that Chick's music and his life was going to be moving. It is at this point that we're approaching 1980, and I think that because of the intensity of his work with the electric band and Return to Forever and more solo piano things and collaborations and whatnot, I think I will stop this first segment here and just remind you that Chick Corea, through his lifetime so far, because he ain't done yet, has earned 23 Grammy Awards and has been nominated 60 times. That's right. This man is not just varied, but no matter which of these roles he is on, he is always very well received and very, very successful, and is rewarded for what is genius beyond description. Just remember that Chick Corea has earned 23 Grammy Awards so far in his life and has been nominated 60 times. That is an incredible accomplishment for any musician or any bunch of musicians. Chick Corea is an American treasure. Thank you so very much, Armando Anthony Corea from Chelsea, Massachusetts.